You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 5th of August 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, it is a beautiful day here. Today is the year anniversary of those two explosions the Israelis set off in Beirut. Now we're going to talk about two ships under attack, likely by Mossad. I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but this seems awfully coincidental. But I tell you, I can't imagine the level of sociopathy you have to reach to actually work for these people and defend their policies. That must be something we can't even imagine.
I think there was an attack on the Lebanon recently as well. I think Israel went in there and attacked them, and there has been some criticism. You know, these guys are trying to recover from this big explosion that took place last year, and could you, you know, sort of just leave it a little bit with the bombing raids? But today we're going to be talking about what's been happening over there in the Arabian Sea. Apparently an empty cargo ship has been targeted, and this cargo ship is owned by Israeli billionaire Eyal Ofer. The attack that killed two people aboard an Israeli-operated vessel off the coast of Oman in the Arabian Sea on Thursday, so that was Thursday last week, is believed to have been a drone strike, the US Navy's Fifth Fleet, which operates in the region, has said. American explosives experts who have examined the Mercer Street product tanker have discovered clear visual evidence that an attack had occurred on the ship, the Fifth Fleet said in a statement on Saturday. Initial indications clearly point to a drone-style attack, it stated, without elaborating on how such a conclusion was reached. And clearly they haven't, also they haven't elaborated on who it was that they think was actually responsible for this. They've just said, well, we think it was a drone style attack. Has there been any more on this, Matt? Do you know any more about this?
Well, the confusing part is that we have two ships under attack. The Mercer Street, which is docked at the UAE, was attacked by this drone. That was July 29th. The Asphalt Princess, which was alleged hijacking, was August 3rd. And, you know, Mercer Street is owned by Eyal Ofer, and they're both linked with Israel. As always, the stories don't make any sense. Nothing adds up here. And, of course, they immediately blame Iran, despite the fact they have no interest in doing this. And even the Navy says nothing more than there was a drone attack. Only the politicians, especially in Israel, automatically thought it was the Iranians. And now the U.S. Claims absolutely we have definitive proof that this was Iran and war is imminent.
Well, they don't really even specify what sort of drone it was. I mean, what do they mean? A sort of handheld drone that the average individual would be controlling? Do they mean the sort of drone that the United States controls that drops missiles over Afghanistan? They're not being very clear about this, but I guess it was pretty predictable that Israel would immediately blame Iran. Israel's Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has claimed there is proof that Iran are behind the deadly ship attack off the coast of Oman, adding that the incident is a reminder of Iranian aggression. The incident last Thursday, which was widely publicized on Friday after two crew members were confirmed dead, targeted an Israeli-operated merchant vessel in the Arabian Sea. Bennett claimed in a Sunday press conference that Iranians behind the attack wanted an Israel target and had settled on the Mercer Street tanker. I determine with absolute certainty Iran carried out the attack against the ship, he said. The intelligence evidence for this exists, and we expect the international community will make it clear to the Iranian regime that they have made a serious mistake. Iran has denied responsibility for the attack, something Bennett labelled cowardly, whilst promising a swift response from Israel itself. The Zionist regime, meaning Israel, has created insecurity, terror, and violence. These accusations about Iran's involvement are condemned by Tehran. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh said this week. So where is the evidence here? There isn't actually any evidence. And why would the Iranians go targeting an empty cargo ship? I mean, if they're going to attack Israel, you would imagine that they would try to hurt Israel, not the outside of a cargo ship and two workers on that cargo ship that were not Israeli. I mean, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Matt.
How many times have we been here on this show? It's like once a month we're talking about an incident where everyone blames, you know, China or Iran. There's no evidence for it. And after a couple of weeks, it's just taken for granted that it was them. And then eventually the issue dies. You know, Israel's been doing this for a very long time. Back in April, there was an Israeli attack on an Iranian oil tanker off the Syrian coast. Also, by the way, from a drone. So this seems to be the trendy way to try to start a war here. It doesn't make sense. These are both incompetent. Very little damage was done. As far as the hijacking from the Asphalt Princess, all they said is that they just cut the engines and the hijacking was finished. I mean, how incompetent do you have to be? That's all you have to do to stop a hijacking is not move. Nothing's ever told what happened to these guys, the extent of the damage at the Mercer Street, how, you know, poorly these are all carried out, the assumptions that in the Asphalt Princess hijacking case more recently, they looked Iranian. Therefore, it's now Iran, and not just Iran, but the Iranian government. They're not offering any evidence. There is no evidence, but this is such a common, repetitive thing. And when you see these talking heads repeating the same slogans over and over again, it just gets very frustrating.
So they did actually catch the hijackers then, and they ascertained that the hijackers were Iranian. But why would that need to have anything to do with the state? I mean, this amazes me when they catch people from Russia doing something and they automatically say, well, it's Russia doing it. And you think, well, it could very well just be Russian criminals doing it. I mean, why do they assume that it's to do with the Iranian state? What other evidence have they produced to do with these hijackers, Matt?
Well, I've been searching, not just in English, but in Russian and Ukrainian, for any analysis of who these guys are. Were they captured? Where were they brought? That there is a blackout on this at the moment. And all we have is, you know, a couple of grainy pictures. You have no idea who these people are. You have people who look that way, who could speak, you know, Farsi and Arabic in Mossad. So nothing here makes any sense. The incompetence, just like in the Russian gas attacks and all this, the Syrian gas attack, nothing makes sense here. There's no interest being served. It's a great excuse for Israel to threaten war. And ultimately, it comes down to the nuclear talks where even civilian nuclear reactors will come under it. Israel's been destroying their nuclear reactors, trying to create a meltdown, really essentially poisoning the entire country for a few years now. They've shot, you know, nuclear scientists to the point where it's a deadly job now. That terrorism now has been forgotten for these ridiculous and still, I mean, there's a total blackout on what the heck happened here. No one knows who these guys are, which means that they're obviously not working for any Iranian state. They're not even saying what the damage was. This is bad. This is Johnson's law in action, and it absolutely means nothing except threats against the Iranian state.
Well, if they had the hijackers, I mean, that would be the smoking gun, wouldn't it, if there was a connection to the Iranian state and all they would have to do is show their papers or tell us who they are. But they haven't. And, of course, this has led to Israel now threatening Iran. On Monday, Israel's defense minister, Benny Gantz, threatened Iran and said Israel must take action against the Islamic Republic right now. over last week's drone attack on an Israeli-operated ship near Oman. Israel, the US, and the UK have blamed Tehran, but Iran denies the accusation, calling the allegations baseless. Iran's aggression in the region generally, and on the maritime front in particular, is intensifying, Gantz said during a plenary session of Israel's Knesset. This is the exact reason that we must act right now against Iran. He said that when Iranian President-elect Ebrahim Raisi comes into office, Iran will be more dangerous to the world than it has been so far. Raisi will replace Hassan Rouhani as president this week. We will act to remove any such threat, Gantz said. Do you know anything about this Ebrahim Raisi at all, Matt?
Yeah, you know, there's a democracy, or certainly a representative system in Iran. You had 600 candidates for president that over time whittled down to four. You didn't have a lot of turnout this last election, like the U.S., like in 1996, that's something like 40%. So you have a certain level of depression there. But the Iranian population generally blames the West for this. This may be a boon to Iran because they're building new trading relationships with Germany, China, and India, and the UAE. And this, by the way, this ship, one of these ships, is registered in the UAE. There's no reason to wreck that relationship, and so they're building what they call the resistance economy, with Russia, of course, and that's the fear here, because there's a transition in the chief executive. This is a time where they feel that they're vulnerable, and this new president is just going to come into office in a couple of weeks, be inaugurated, and this is kind of a vulnerable time, they think, and that's why they're choosing now. 99%, this is a Mossad operation. Maybe 1%, it's some criminal group working for the Israelis. This is about the worst possible thing that could happen to the Iranians right now. And as far as the nuclear stuff is concerned, once they develop their civilian nuclear capacity, they're not going to be as dependent on oil anymore, which means the economy is going to continue to grow and continue to develop, which is really the main thing that Israel fears. Israel has 400 nuclear weapons. That's not the issue. The issue is having this massive first world power with support all over the place and a very popular government not too far away from it. That's really the issue here. So the point of these sanctions and everything else is to starve the country, to destroy the country, and to turn it into a fourth world basket case like it used to be.
Well, I'm just interested at the way, that this Benny Gantz is already attacking this Ebrahim Raisi, and he hasn't even come into office yet. We don't know anything about him, but according to Benny Gantz, it's going to make Iran more dangerous to the world than it has ever been so far. I mean, that's quite some hyperbole to use for somebody that hasn't even been put in office yet. We've also had harsh words from Antony Blinken. While it was more toned down, US Secretary of State Antony Blinken also threatened action against Iran. We are working with our partners to consider our next steps and consulting with governments inside the region and beyond on an appropriate response, which will be forthcoming, Blinken said on Sunday. So he's toned it down a bit, but he's still saying there's going to be an appropriate response. There's going to be some kind of a retaliation, and yet they haven't actually proved that it was carried out by Iran. They've got no motive for actually doing this. What do you think Blinken's response might be, Matt?
Well, don't forget, Blinken is Jewish. Blinken is a absolute fanatical Zionist. He was even one of the architects of the Obama's initial policy, the nuclear program of Iran. And of course, he's private sector. He used to be a West exec advisors, typical elite jobs outside of government. So he is, he's in a bad position. The U.S. is not in any position to fight a war anywhere. Such as having been defeated in Afghanistan and Iraq just recently. But you notice how the Israelis, both Bennett and Gantz, are talking that this is a threat to the world. This is not just an Israeli problem. Americans should be terrified of this. It's going to happen to you tomorrow. And they're demanding loudly, we'll see this here in a minute, that the U.S. take action. Typical Israeli policy is to get involved in a situation that they know that the Americans will help them fight. Have the Americans do all the fighting and dying while Israel remains pristine. That's the whole point of the U.S. being there. The U.S. doesn't get any oil from this area, gets no gas from this area. has nothing to do really economically with much of it, except now the only reason is to maintain the empire and to defend Israel. So Israel has to constantly be creating these threats, creating these incidents to justify the American presence in that part of the world.
And then you have people like Blinken, who are hardly likely to be objective with those sorts of credentials that back up Israel along with the rest of Biden's cabinet. Neither the US nor Israel have actually offered any evidence to back up these accusations against Iran. If they have any evidence to support their baseless claims, they should provide them, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh said in response to the US and UK backing up Israel's narrative. He also said Iran would decisively respond to any possible adventurism. The attack on the Japanese-owned tanker Mercer Street, which is managed by a company owned by Israeli billionaire Eyal Ofer, killed two crew members, a Romanian and a British national. Both Romania and the UK have summoned Iranian ambassadors over the attack. And I guess you could say, Matt, that you know, maybe they don't want to bring this evidence up because it could implicate how they got the evidence, or it could implicate undercover operatives that they have. I know this would be the excuse that they would say, we can't actually tell you what the evidence is because it might endanger somebody else. What would you make of that excuse?
It's come up before. Just on this show alone, maybe, you know, 50 times over the last few years, they claim to know for certain that, you know, Russia or China or Iran is behind something. Never give the evidence. It never comes out. What little does come out is certainly anything but conclusive. But the way the media spins it, that over time just becomes taken for granted. Even now, they're saying, you know, the Iranian attack on these ships, as if, you know, the book is closed. So the Iranians are well aware what's going on. The Russians certainly are well aware. And because of the close relationship with Iran and China, the Chinese are very concerned here. So as far as military action is concerned, I think Iran is safe. However, you know, the whole point of the nuclear deal was to get them to change their policy, and then the sanctions would be lifted. The sanctions really, you know, they've affected the Iranians more so than the ones on Russia, but it may actually be good for the economy over time. The Iranian economy is not that, you know, worse off, you know, certainly better off than the American economy, for example, or economies in elsewhere in Central Asia. So I'm not sure how the sanctions really are affecting it. But just like South Africa in the 70s, sanctions actually created a very prosperous economy. It's creating this economy of resistance, as the Iranians call it, and this axis of resistance, building their own institutions, building their own banks and currencies without the dollar. So these things actually are pretty positive. There is a worldwide economic problem, except in China, and which doesn't bother Iran anyway because there are close connections there. China's their number one trading partner. So you know, this is just absolute absurdity. They're not even good lies. They're not even trying very hard. It's the same thing over and over again. Yeah, we have the evidence. We can't release it, though. Can't even tell you who was there. And meanwhile, you have the Navy saying, yes, it was attacked, and that's all they're going to say. So far, they haven't blamed anyone.
So we have no proof as of yet. Well, it actually looks like it's Israel that has carried out more attacks on shipping than Iran. Attacks on commercial shipping are common in the region, and Israel has been behind several attacks on Iranian ships. In March, the Wall Street Journal reported that Israel had attacked at least a dozen ships that were either Iranian or carrying Iranian fuel since 2019. Israel has also carried out covert attacks inside Iran over the past year, including the assassination of Iranian scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Israel doesn't officially take credit for these attacks, but it is no secret who was behind them, and Israeli intelligence officials have all but admitted it in comments to the press. Well, I guess if you've got the Wall Street Journal, who are pro-Israel and pro-Jewish, if they're admitting that Israel has attacked at least a dozen ships, then we can say, well, that's, you know, that is pretty definite. Has Iran actually definitely attacked any ships that you know of, Matt? I mean, I'm sure I can recall allegations like this before, that Iran had attacked a ship, or they'd impounded a ship or something. Can you remind us of what happened there?
Yeah, we've done many shows on this. And in fact, I worried about today because there's a certain repetition here. But the repetition is the story. I'm sure the Iranians would love to do this. And these other powers deserve it. But they are privately owned. as far as we know, these aren't direct agents of the Israeli state or the United States. They're just pretexts. Not only are we talking about constant attacks on Iranian shipping, but mass murders of their top people, generals, scientists, professors. Yeah, there's a list. We did a whole show. There's like 40 or 50 people just in the last few years. So that means their top people not only are not functioning, but are leaving the country. So the whole thing comes down to starving the place. They're looking at a very powerful economy, diverse, first world, highly literate, highly scientific, high tech sector, and it scares the crap out of them. And these kind of pretexts have one purpose, and that's to keep the U.S. military, which is exhausted, humiliated, and under-equipped in the region, acting as a tripwire. And we've done shows on Russia, China, Iran being provoked beyond belief. But the Axis idea is to never respond, because everyone knows what this is. The Israeli attacks we've spoken about, Israeli attacks on Iranian shipping, usually the Israeli government eventually admits it. There's no reason for the Iranian state to do something like this and not take credit for it. The whole point of any kind of terror attack is to take credit for it. Denying it doesn't make any sense. It didn't really damage any of these countries. It's a pretext for war for them, in fact. And if you don't take credit for it, what's the point? Not to mention the fact they were so poorly carried out that you can thwart a hijacking by just cutting the engine. Like they never thought of that. These stories aren't even good, but they're very bad pretext. They know they don't have to work very hard, that the Western populations will buy anything, although I think that might be changing. But if you're going to keep a scorecard, the West has done infinitely more damage to the Iranians, and their restraint is superhuman.
So there's constant provocations, basically, and all the while there are these provocations, they're screaming about Iran is a backer of terrorists, Iran proxy militias in Iraq, Iran this, Iran that, and what's actually going on is it's Iran that's constantly being provoked. Well, let's go back a little way, back to February, to some interaction between Israel and America. Joe Biden was president for less than a week when his government announced that he would soon be receiving a possibly unwelcome visitor in the form of the Israeli Foreign Intelligence Service Mossad's chief, Yossi Cohen, who will be flying to Washington in February to explain the correct policy when dealing with Iran. And lest there be any confusion on the issue, the Israel Defense Force Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, also announced that any Biden attempt to mend fences with the Islamic Republic will have to meet certain conditions, or Israel will exercise other options. He said, "In light of this fundamental analysis, I have instructed the Israel Defense Forces to prepare a number of operational plans in addition to those already in place. It will be up to the political leadership, of course, to decide on implementation, but these plans need to be on the table." Another government minister clarified that the options would include, quote, an attack on Iran, though there has been no indication whether or not Israel would possibly contemplate deploying its tactical nuclear weapons to prevent retaliation by Iranian forces. So, you know, that's pretty strong language there, talking about an attack on Iran. And also they're sort of pretty much saying that they're going to go it alone regardless of what anybody else says. I mean, they're saying it's up to the political leadership, of course, but these plans need to be on the table. And what do you make of it here where it says that the Mossad chief may have been an unwelcome visitor to Joe Biden? I thought Joe Biden was quite close to Mossad and Israel. What do you make of this?
Well, of course, you know, Joe Biden in quotes, he doesn't know who the Mossad are. You're talking about the BlackRock controlled, very Jewish cabinet that he has, especially in security agencies. This was written back in January. And unwelcome visitor, meaning he has someone marching in there and giving orders. This whole – what you just read here are high-ranking intelligence and military officials from Tel Aviv coming to Washington and giving orders, creating plans for an American attack on Iran, or at least a joint attack on it. There's not an option here. And we'll see a little bit later they're being very clear. You're going to do this. We have power over your press. We have power over your banks. We are your banks. These banks finance the entire federal government. So, and then plus the BlackRock leverage, which is completely Jewish. There's not much you can do. You could be a cipher like Joe Biden or a very strong president. It doesn't make any difference. They have all the cards here. Tail wagging the dog, as we used to say. So this is these guys marching in and dictating foreign policy, knowing full well that they're never going to hear the word no.
Well, there's a very interesting piece of analysis next on Israel's current relations with America. And they say there is no limit to Israeli hubris. A leading rabbi in Israel is predicting that as the United States is in decline, it is up to the Jewish state to take over the role of guiding civilization forward. And that kind of thinking shapes how Israel treats the United States with condescension, acting as if it is the knowledgeable elder statesman whose guidance must be respected. In this case, the Zionist solution to the Iran problem will by design be unpalatable for the government in Tehran if it intends to remain sovereign. For Israel, the correct policy for dealing with Iran is to effectively disarm it and make it impossible to establish any sphere of influence in the countries adjacent to it, to include Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. That would be to concede Israeli dominance over the entire region, and if the Iranians do not play ball, the next step would be to convince the United States to attack it on some pretext, possibly including an Israeli false flag, to start the process going. And that looks like what we've got going on here. It's like a sort of warning, isn't it? Look, we could do this. We could set this off. You need to play ball. Is that what's going on here, Matt?
Yeah, putting it nicely. But the phrase guiding civilization forward, that's been the tikkun olam concept of the Kabbalah for a very long time, the idea of fixing the world. This is the Jewish mission as the aristocrats of mankind, as they used to say. The U.S. is just a golem. But they're looking at a state, an empire, as we've been saying for a long time, in steep decline. Israel by itself isn't large enough to do anything. But you have private firms like BlackRock that control entire economies, entire continents, in fact. They may not need countries. Could they use proxy armies? Could they use mercenaries like the Italian republics used to use? Are there other candidates, like maybe India, that can be used for Israeli purposes? So the dangerous thing here is that, or maybe it's a good thing, that the abandonment of the U.S. By the Israelis may actually be a good thing. When Israel was founded, it was founded by the Soviet Union. But because the Soviet Union was almost destroyed in World War II, the U.S. was much wealthier, and so the Zionists went to the U.S. to make them a much better deal. Well, the U.S. is now in trouble. Where they're going to go, I'm not sure, but I'm wondering if guiding civilization forward means that states and governments are now passé and they can use massive empires like BlackRock in lieu of a typical, you know, nation state or empire. And that may be where we're headed here. As I've said many times before, we really don't have the vocabulary to describe that yet.
I think that is where we're headed, isn't it? And also with the social media companies with more power than governments, and clearly BlackRock have got more power and wealth. And when you look at these internet company heads that are now the ones that are going off into space and talking about going to the moon, the governments just don't have the power anymore. Well, the Times of Israel sums up the Israeli official position as Iran must halt the enriching of uranium, stop producing advanced centrifuges, cease supporting terror groups, foremost Lebanon's Hezbollah, end its military presence in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen, stop terror activity against Israeli targets overseas, and grant full access to the IAEA on all aspects of its nuclear program. Completing the disarming of Iran would also include requiring Tehran to abandon its ballistic missile program. The irony is, of course, that it is Israel that has a secret nuclear arsenal that is created by stealing uranium and triggers from the United States, and it is also the leading regional supporter of terrorist groups, including Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Iran's presence in Syria is due to its lending assistance to the Damascus government's resistance to the insurgencies supported by Israel and the United States. And Iran has not targeted Israeli citizens and groups overseas, but Israel and the US have assassinated Iranian officials whilst also bombing both government and civilian targets in Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. And this is the point. They always talk about the Iran's terrorist activities, but you never ever actually hear of any. What do you make of what the Times of Israel are saying here, Matt?
Well, we've dealt with this issue before. It's the same conditions where they're recognized, Palestine as a state, so long as it has no independent economy, no independent foreign policy, no independent military, no independent police force, then we'll accept it. They're saying here for Iran, they're saying that the only way that this war is going to end is if you cease existing as a state and you become essentially protectorate of Tel Aviv and Washington. And this author here is one of the few more or less mainstream authors who realize that Al-Qaeda and ISIS are proxy armies for the U.S. and Israel. I was the very first to bring that out and explain that in depth. And it's still being resisted in certain circles. So in other words, Israeli empire is the only goal, and it's the only thing that's going to keep them from happening, from going to war. However, the issue, as we've already said, American decline is causing them some concern. And that's why you have these consolidation of these big corporate firms, State Street and BlackRock, where now they can create their own private armed forces, which are not subject to international law or anything else. And I do think that's where this is headed. And if ISIS can be an effective weapon for the Americans, maybe something else can be an effective weapon for the Israelis. And this might be the future of warfare over there.
You know, I should imagine that the average man on the street, probably when he hears that Iran is a backer of terrorism, he probably thinks that Iran is the backer of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, rather than ISIS and Al-Qaeda being sponsored in to attack Syria by Israel and America. Well, we've got a final piece here which tells us what happened back in February during this meeting. Biden will likely fold like a cheap suit when confronted by the force majeure of Mossad Chief Cohen. The new American president has assembled a national security team for dealing with the Middle East that is nearly all Jewish and all Zionist, an affliction that he himself claims to suffer from. The Biden nominee for Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, said at a confirmation hearing last week that the new administration would consult with Israel before any possible return to the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action nuclear deal. And he also made it clear there would be additional conditions for Iran. It was an odd comment for a government official who is supposed to support American interests, but it was predictably what Congress wanted to hear, as Iran has already indicated that it is unwilling to abandon its defences and its role in the region. The Biden proposal will be a non-starter in any case, though Israel will be prepared to apply its own veto if anything undertaken by the State Department moves beyond the talking stage. Currently, there is credible speculation that Israeli intelligence has been able to compromise most, if not all, of the US government's information systems, as well as those of major corporations. As the Jewish state is the most active in spying against the United States, that should surprise no one. For Israel to interfere in US politics or government blatantly is not exactly new, though it is rare to have anyone in the mainstream media or in government say anything about it. That is because Israel's ability to wage war against critics is second to none, having at its back nearly unlimited financial resources and easy access to the media, as well as active supporters from among the nearly 600 Jewish organizations that exist in the United States. And I think it was only last week that there was some Israeli spy app that had been used against journalists that was being used all around the world. And that was actually exposed in The Guardian, but that was traced back to Israel as well. So, they are involved in spying on governments all the time, particularly America. Matt, what are your final thoughts on all of this for today?
I think the reason that Jews, with the exception of the Likud party in Israel, was so worried about Donald Trump, despite him being a Zionist, was that a guy like him, independent with his own money, paying for his own campaign, could on a dime turn on them. And it was very possible, especially the way that Jewish organizations spit on him throughout his presidency. That's why from now on, these guys are going to be the Joe Bidens of the world, almost non-existent people, third-rate politicians with no real stand, no real intelligence. Donald Trump could never, or a guy like him, could never be allowed to go back, because he supported Israel for a long time, he can very easily turn on them. And that's what they fear more than anything. That's why they politicized the FBI, the CIA, completely throwing the law out of the way. And it's been a revolution in American government.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.